Christ is risen. In today's first reading, we encounter St. Paul and St. Barnabas proclaiming the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead in a city in Asia Minor called Derbe. After making a considerable number of disciples in Derbe, St. Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, tells us that Paul and Barnabas returned to the cities of Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. I think it's important to review what happened to Paul and Barnabas the first time they were in Antioch, Iconium, in Lystra. We heard part of that story last Sunday. So let's do a quick review, a quick summary of chapters 13 and 14 of the Acts of the Apostles. Paul and Barnabas were preaching in the synagogue in Antioch in Pisidia, which is in Asia Minor in modern-day Turkey. After listening to St. Paul's inspired preaching, some of the Jews, with violent abuse, contradicted what St. Paul said. The Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their territory. So Paul and Barnabas were literally kicked out of Antioch in Pisidia. And so they headed east to Iconium. Paul and Barnabas were preaching in the synagogue in Iconium when an attempt was made by both Jews and Gentiles with their rulers to attack and stone Paul and Barnabas. But Paul and Barnabas got wind of the plot and quickly left and fled to the city of Lystra. In the city of Lystra, east of Iconium, St. Paul healed a man who had never walked in his life. But then, Jews from Antioch and Iconium came to Lystra and persuaded the people to stone Paul and drag him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered around him, Paul rose up and entered the city of Lystra, and on the next day they went east to Derbe. And that's where today's first reading begins. After making a considerable number of disciples in the city of Derbe, Paul and Barnabas returned to the cities of Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. And this is where I say you have got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. Paul and Barnabas went back to the three very same cities where the people tried to run them out of town. You've got to be kidding me. The people in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch hate their guts. These people tried to kill Paul. They had stoned him so severely, they thought they had killed him. And Paul and Barnabas want to go back there? You have got to be kidding me. If I were in a parish where the parishioners wrote thousands of letters against me to the bishop, if they forced me out of town, if they stoned me, leaving me half dead, I don't think I would go back there. I would just shake the dust from my feet, as Jesus told me to do, and move to the next parish. If I were Paul and Barnabas, I would cultivate a special devotion to the Magi and go home by another route. You can see what a coward I am. But not St. Paul and Barnabas. Now you know the profound meaning behind what St. Paul tells the Christians in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. St. Paul and St. Barnabas experienced many hardships, violent abuse, rejection, expulsion, attempted murder. And so too will every Christian experience hardships, crosses, struggles, sufferings, difficulties, tribulations, disappointments. We don't give up. St. Paul got back up, and he continued on his mission. And so can we. So can every Christian. with the strength that comes from God. St. Paul and St. Barnabas risked their lives, literally, they risked their lives going back to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. They risked their lives to encourage the faithful Christians to persevere. They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith. Don't give up. Don't give in. You can do it. Persevere to the end. And after St. Paul and St. Barnabas strengthened their spirits and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, don't give up, before they left each city, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, they appointed elders for them in each church. The Greek expression appointed means to stretch forth your hands. And the Greek expression elders is the Greek word presbyters, which is how we get the English word priest. Isn't that profound? So they appointed elders. What are they doing? Literally in the Greek, they're laying hands on these men and ordaining them priests. This is what Bishop Barron will do in 6 days. On Saturday, he will stretch out his hands, lay hands on 3 men, and ordain them deacons. This is what Bishop Barron will do in 2 weeks. He will lay hands on 3 deacons and ordain them priests. Earlier this morning, Pope Leo XIV officially began his ministry as the Bishop of Rome, the successor of St. Peter, the 267th Pope, the servant of the servants of God. Like St. Paul, if the Pope is boldly preaching the truth, the Pope will have to undergo many hardships, crosses, sufferings, and difficulties. For it is necessary for the Pope to undergo many hardships in order to enter the kingdom of God. Last week we said that it is the mission of the Pope to urge us to remain faithful to the grace of God. It's almost identical this week, isn't it? The Pope's vocation is to strengthen the spirits of the disciples and to exhort them to persevere in the faith. Persevere. Don't give up. You can do it with God's grace. This is the Pope's vocation, right? At the Last Supper, Jesus told Simon Peter specifically, he only was talking to Peter, the Pope. He says, I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers. The Pope's vocation is to strengthen the spirits of the brothers, of the disciples. And that's exactly what Pope Leo XIV did this morning in St. Peter's Square. Did you get up early so that you could hear it? He said, Fratelli, sorelli, questa è l'ora dell'amore. Always sounds better in Italian, doesn't it? Fratelli, sorelle, questa è l'ora dell'amore. Brothers and sisters, this is the hour of love. Con umiltà e con gioia. Guardate a Cristo. With humility and joy, look to Christ. Draw near to him, the Pope said. Accept his word that enlightens and consoles. Listen to his proposal of love. Stunning, right? Ascoltate la sua proposta di amore. Listen to his proposal of love. Does that sound like the Pope is fulfilling his vocation to strengthen the spirits of the disciples and to exhort us to persevere in the faith? It's also the Pope's vocation and mission to appoint bishops. Every single bishop appointed in the world is appointed directly from the Holy Father. It's the Holy Father appoints Bishop Barron to be the Bishop of Winona and so forth. The Holy Father directly appoints bishops. And you know what Pope Leo The 14th did for 2 years before he became Pope. He was the head of the Vatican Congregation for Bishops. Every single week, he went to the Holy Father with several folders, a stack of them. And he says, Holy Father, these are the men we'd like to propose to be ordained bishops. And the Pope would say, no, I don't like any of them. Or, yeah, I like some of them. The Pope makes the final decision. And now, and now he's Pope Leo the 14th. And he has to make the decision himself. Other than upholding Catholic doctrine and morality, other than upholding and teaching clearly what we believe about faith and morality, the greatest influence the Pope can have is who he consecrates bishops all over the world. Who will he appoint as elders in the churches throughout the world? The greatest influence our bishop can have is who he ordains priests and appoints as our pastors. We pray that through his teaching, sanctifying, and governing, Pope Leo the 14th will indeed strengthen our spirits and exhort us to persevere in the faith. For this is the hour of love. With humility and joy, let us look to Jesus Christ, truly risen from the dead. Draw near to him. Accept his word that enlightens and consoles. Listen to his proposal of love. Amen.